You're listening to the Nick Smith Podcast.
Real life, no myth.
Where we talk about myths and misunderstandings
surrounding life, race, faith, and culture.
If you'd like to support the Nick Smith Podcast, rate us on iTunes.
Or you can give through our Patreon.
And don't forget to share this on social media so that all of your friends can know what you're listening to.
Hey, we are your hosts, Nick Smith.
And Kylie Jo Smith. And today's episode is called, You Are Not a Flocking Bird.
Maybe it's not them, it's you.
Ooh.
I like how whenever I say my little subtitle, it inspires me to go into like a radio voice. Maybe it's not them, it's you. It could be.
It could be. Just maybe.
Before we jump into our episode, I've got a question for all of you folks listening.
I'm listening.
You are listening. And those of you watching, are you a $2 saver? Think about
this. If you don't know that reference, that's very sad that you don't know that.
But if you do know it, you get an extra point. So comment and let me know if you know where that's from. But if you have $2, you can be a part of our Patreon people. We are building a community right now of supporters.
Yeah, and we have, so if you saw, I think it was like last month or earlier this month, we met our first goal of our monthly patronage. It sounds so official, patronage. Patrons,
as long as they're not patronizing.
Well, but technically they are.
Yeah,
but not in a weird way. Not in that like verbal.
Not condescending.
Way. There we go.
Anyway,
please don't patronize us. Although, hey, if you want to, go ahead and share some stuff and be patronizing. That's totally cool.
Do that as well.
But as I was saying, we have a growing. Oh no, you were saying that we have a. I don't know who was saying it.
Somebody was saying it.
It was being said. We have a growing. Group of patrons. And it's really cool because not only, if you're a $2 haver, not only do you get to become a patron and do you get to be a part of this community and kind of have that bragging right, I guess.
Yeah.
But you also have a voice in the direction of this podcast. We have merchandise we're going to be launching. We have different projects we're going to be doing that we will go to our patrons first.
That's right.
We also have things that we're doing behind the scenes that we're going to share with our patrons first. So you guys have like a feed. It's really cool. It's like a private Facebook, if that's a way I can describe it.
There's something really cool been happening is I've been getting, and our Facebook page has been getting messages because there's a thing happening where our listeners want to engage and they want to have these conversations, but they don't really want to comment on the thread because some of the stuff we talk about is challenging.
Right.
And so if you want a community of like-minded individuals to have these conversations with, you got to get on Patreon with us because then we can have open discussion. It's like having a private group chat.
It really
is. With people
is.
Who you already know, like they've already heard the subject, they know what you're talking about.
Yeah.
And so join us, please. It's going to be awesome.
$2 is like the price. It's less than the price of a cup of coffee at most places.
It is.
Like, coffee. I know it's coffee, but
it's
okay. Here's another one. It's less than a meal at Wendy's.
At anywhere. At anywhere. It's less than
a
meal.
Hey,
it's less than a package of toilet paper.
Oh my gosh, that you can't even buy right now. Well, and on that note, like you're not spending money traveling right now. You may
seriously.
Not be spending money going anywhere outside of your house. You might as well
you
take
ain't spending
that
gas money going nowhere.
Yeah, $2 is like less than a gallon of gas.
It is in most places.
Yeah, so go ahead and spend that $2
with us. Go ahead and shoot us the two real quick.
And you will not regret it. I promise. We have a money back guarantee.
Do we?
Yep.
Okay.
Just started.
We got a money back guarantee. But go ahead and check us out on Patreon.
Yes.
Also, shout out to Academy of Dreamers. We got some stuff coming up with the Dreamers. And so we're pretty excited.
Yes.
If you are a part of our dream team.
Yeah. Thank you.
Thank you. Yeah.
Give
us a
shout
out. Awesome.
Yeah.
What'd you have?
Oh, well, I was just going to say on the trending news.
Yeah, go ahead.
That's what we're doing right now with this little spot. you mentioned toilet paper. So if you're not aware, I'm very sorry that you have been living under a rock and you're not aware of what's been going on in not only the world abroad, but now actually on American soil. It's kind
of,
and it's weird because
COVID-19.
Yeah, it started in 2019, but now it's becoming like this thing of 2020. It's like, that's what we know that next year around this time, we're going to be remembering like, oh my gosh, do you remember
when there's no more toilet paper?
Yeah. So, gosh, there's just a lot we could say about it because everyone has commentary about it and we could have done a whole episode.
We're probably
going
to do a little video about it this week.
We totally are because everybody's doing it. We got to jump on the bandwagon. But at the same time, like we do want to recognize that it is a sensitive time.
Yeah.
And, for us as parents and as people who we're not in the workforce, the traditional workforce, but we once were, we understand it's really hard for a lot of people who have kids
Yes.
or school's been canceled. You can't take off work or you have to take off work. Like, yeah. It's a struggle. So as much as we're joking, we're joking about toilet paper, and also baby wipes are kind of short right now.
Yeah, vitamin C. No,
vitamin C. I went to order some and I was like, what? I got to wait 4 more weeks.
It's crazy.
Anyway.
So be wise, but don't listen, you guys. There is no reason to panic. I know that panic is kind of our natural state. Mm-hmm. And be wise. Be prayed up.
Yeah.
Know where your eternity is. Know who is in control, because this didn't catch Jesus off guard.
Right. And I know it sounds like kind of cheesy for people to say, you just got to pray. But I love what one of our cousins actually said. He was like, be prepared, but don't panic. Like, prepare and plan, but don't panic. Like, if you have a plan.
Alliteration.
It was really good. When I read it, I was like, hey. Like, there's a way to respond to this stuff. Mm-hmm. And we can be compassionate to those around us who don't know where their eternity stands.
Yeah.
That's where a lot of the chaotic mental and relational stuff comes out. So just be aware, be sensitive, but don't be hypersensitive. Wash your hands.
Wash them.
I saw some really funny videos about washing your hands. So just, you know, and laugh about it, because that's good.
While you're staying inside. And go back and listen to all of our podcasts.
Hey!
Because you're stuck inside anyway. You might as well.
You're stuck in an airport.
Wherever you are, just, you know, check us out.
Yes.
Also coming up, before we get to our discussion, just a couple more things.
Yeah.
We are still planning the single release for Kylie Jo's single, Save Me.
Yes, on April 4th. And pre-orders will be starting next week. I'm so excited.
Yes.
And if you want to, go to my page on Facebook, Kylie Jo, or go on Instagram, Kylie Jo Music. And if you tag a friend in any of the graphics that I put up about the single, you have a chance to win the single for free before it's even released.
There we go. That's awesome. I didn't even know that, because I haven't been on Facebook today. So that's awesome.
Well, there you go.
So yes, we are still planning April 4th at Pac City Church in Wichita, Kansas.
Yes.
And so please plan on being there.
There will be hand sanitizer.
There will be hand sanitizer. And so yes, awesome. Well, today we're talking about not being a flocking bird.
Yes.
Which sounds kind of aggressive. Kylie Jo had joked about putting the asterisks and stuff in there, so it makes people think clickbait. Like, what are they?
Are they cursing?
Are they saying the foul words?
But we decided
not
to.
Foul words?
Oh my goodness. The bird analogies today.
All the bird jokes. But here's what we're talking about. Little known fact. Well, it's probably very well known, actually. But eagles do not flock.
Right.
Eagles are not flocking birds. They're birds, but they don't flock. So flocking, for those of you who don't know, is when a bunch of birds get together, right?
Yeah.
And so
of the same feather,
they flock together. This is puntastic.
Oh, this is good.
So birds that stick together, like turkeys flock and sparrows flock and
vultures.
They're all these different birds, they do flock. But eagles that we consistently look at as these majestic, mighty hunters, these birds of prey, they don't flock.
Wow. And is there a reason why? Like, does it say?
There's
does
a bunch
say
of
why?
They're more effective hunters on their own.
Oh,
and so eagles, they also soar higher than most birds. And so when you see an eagle, it's not on the ground level. It's not walking around looking for prey. It's normally perched up somewhere really high, or it's soaring, circling an area, and it's looking for these whatever, because it eats everything.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's looking to see if there's anything it can hunt.
Yeah.
And it has excellent eyesight. And so it's staring down, and it's just up there soaring. And if it was in a group, one, it would be more conspicuous. So it wouldn't be able to swoop in and get people. Or animals, or hopefully
they
didn't get
people.
Hopefully not.
Oh,
hopefully
gosh.
They're not that big.
Change the way I look at eagles.
I'm gonna go out heated every time I go looking for eagles. But no, they couldn't hunt as well if they were in flocks. And so eagles don't flock.
Wow.
And it's crazy, because this correlation came about as we were talking about our lives, as we were talking about how often in our lives we have been set apart.
Mm-hmm.
We have been outcasts. We have been misfits.
Yeah.
We've been those who are not in the in crowd.
Right.
We don't go where the in crowd goes.
Yeah.
and some of that was really disheartening as a child, as a young person, as a young adult even, trying to figure out, what is it that makes me so different? Why is it that I can't fit in? Why is it that I can't feel comfortable in these large crowds?
Yeah. And a lot of it, we kind of are almost taught, maybe not directly or explicitly, but we're kind of taught that if you don't fit in, something's wrong with you. Like, you know, if everybody's, our parents teach us, like, well, if everyone was going to jump off a bridge, would you go do it? Okay. Probably not. Like also if everyone's doing this really awesome thing and they're really interested in this thing, but you're not really a social person, what's wrong with you? If you're introverted, especially introverts get this a lot. It's like, what's wrong with you? Why don't you like large crowds and loud music and everything going on around you? Like, why are you just over in the corner talking to someone the whole time? Like it's seen as like something's off.
Yeah.
You're a little off.
When I was growing up, I remember my mom used to always teach us, she would always put in this, like, you're not a follower. You're not a follower. Don't follow the crowds. You are a leader. You need to, stand on your own to do what you know is right, even if everybody else is doing what's wrong. And though I knew that, and I knew that colored the way I behaved, it helped me to not experience peer pressure the same way other people did. But at the same time, what I felt was like, I knew what I was doing was right based on knowledge, wisdom, understanding. But I didn't understand why nobody else did it. I'd be like, okay, I'm not going to go out and do something stupid because I understand the risks of what's going to happen if I go out and there's this party and there's a bunch of people I don't know and there's drinking and there's the possibility of violence. I'm not going to go because, I'm not going to be in that position by myself. But then I would look at my friends who'd be like, man, it was crazy. We were stranded and we were doing all this stuff. And I'd be like, why'd you go? Like, that was a stupid, and it used to really make me feel like I was such an outsider, like such a weirdie. Because I'd be looking at people make stupid decisions. And I'd be like, why are you guys being so dumb? Like, why are you
and why is that the norm?
Yeah.
Why is choosing the things that are potentially dangerous and harmful?
Yeah.
Why is that celebrated almost at times?
Well, and there would be times, and I'm sure you can speak to this as well. There'd be times where everybody would be doing something stupid and I didn't feel comfortable doing it. And I almost wished that I did. It's like, man, it would be a lot easier if I didn't have morals.
Yeah.
It'd be a lot easier if I was just dumb enough to go and do something reckless.
Yeah.
Because then I could be having fun with everybody else.
Yeah.
And there was this just constant internal conflict growing up. And even moving into ministry, it's been that same thing. Now, we know that pastors, because those of you who don't know, I am a pastor. We are set apart by our title, if by nothing else.
Yeah.
And so there is this kind of distance that happens naturally. But for the longest time, I think I was being groomed by the Lord to walk in this calling, because for so long, I felt like such an outsider, felt like a misfit, as it were.
See, my experience, I remember wanting to fit in and wanting to please. That's kind of how I was hardwired. It was like wanting to please authority figures or whoever really even if it was a presumed authority figure, like someone socially, if it was a peer, it was like, oh, I want to fit in with that. And so
searching for favor.
Yeah. And so my experience was like, oh, well, I have to earn this at whatever cost because it will hopefully benefit me in the long run.
Mm-hmm.
But then feeling that tug of conscience, or what I now understand was the Holy Spirit showing me that this isn't who I've made you to be. This isn't who you're supposed to be. This isn't what you're supposed to be doing and walking in.
Yeah.
And then feeling that like that sandpaper resistance almost of like, well, me then stepping outside of who I had been and like, hey, this is all cool and let's do these reckless things and let's be these types of people. Well, no, now I'm feeling that resistance and like stepping away from that and then getting the cold shoulder.
Yeah.
Maybe not intentionally or out of ill will, but just kind of like, well, you don't do that anymore. So, but we do this. This is who we are.
Yeah.
And so I felt that kind of shift happen.
Mm-hmm.
And now being like some years away from that, like it still happens. Like even in Christian circles, even among mature professionals, it happens where it's like, oh, you're like that.
Yeah.
Oh, you don't. Oh, okay. Okay. So, all right. I get it. Like, we can't really be cool on that level because there's a line there.
There's still some set apartness that happens.
Yeah. And it's not always bad, but it's not always good.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, and it feels bad no matter what, because honestly, I remember, I think forever, Lord willing, my memory maintains because I forget a lot of stuff. Isaiah at one point, I told him to go in his room and get something. Mm-hmm. And it was late at night and it was dark. I mean, late at night, it was just dark time.
Yeah.
And
dark time.
It's dark 30. And he's like, can someone go with me? And I'm like, Isaiah, the lights are on. Like, turn on the lights, go in the room. You're fine. And he's like, he was very insistent. He's like, I don't want to go. I'm scared to go by myself. And this wasn't, he wasn't super little. This was recent.
Yeah.
And I was like, well, Isaiah, you know, Jesus is always with you. And I'll never forget. He goes, but I can't see him. So it's just like I'm by myself.
Oh. And
I was like, I
me
just,
too,
like,
buddy.
I didn't know how to respond. Cause I was like, I can't tell you how many times I felt
right.
that. Because even knowing like we've got Jesus with us.
Yeah.
And if everyone abandons us, we have Jesus. We still feel that social pain
yeah.
of like, yes, I've got Jesus and he loves me and he cares mm-hmm. for me and he's walking with me. But I also wish that there was some, right. you know, some acceptance horizontally.
Right.
Because I've got the vertical.
Right. What we understand too is like, well, the Holy Spirit, he is inside of you.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, there's a lot of things inside of me that don't give me comfort when
yes,
I'm
true.
Rejected. Like, I'm just saying like
true.
that proximity isn't something we like fully comprehend.
Yeah.
And also, in the face of rejection, in the face of just not fitting in. I mean, it doesn't mm-hmm. have to be outward rejection, but just in the face of feeling awkward in social situations, like that doesn't feel like victory.
Yeah.
And one of the things that we as Christians cling to mm-hmm. is our victory in Christ. We have victory over darkness, over yeah. the schemes of the oppressor. We have victory over these things.
Yeah.
But yet here I am, Lord.
Yeah.
And at the same time, there is this like comforting reality of Christ knows this rejection.
Yes.
He knows yeah, this yeah, yeah. deeper than we ever will.
Yeah.
And I can't tell you how many times friends who are wonderful friends have brought that image back to mind. Like, yes, I understand you're feeling this way and mm-hmm. this hurts and this is awful, but you know what? I just want to point you to the fact that Jesus literally knows what you're feeling.
Yeah. Well, and the crowds that followed Christ,
mm.
thousands and thousands of people that followed Christ, he still
wow.
was crucified by himself,
by, yeah.
among strangers, people
right.
he didn't know. And the
by people who at one time were
cheering him
all
on.
For him. Yeah.
Yeah. And so the idea of following after Christ, we should expect some of that isolation.
But we don't want it.
Well, and, but even though we should expect it, we don't.
Right.
You know what I mean? Because
right.
My mom used to say, and I know I'm quoting my mom a lot, but she had a lot of good things to say.
Yeah.
She always used to tell me whenever something bad happens, you're like, well, you know, they killed Jesus.
Right.
And so it'd be one of those things like,
thanks, mom.
All that bad stuff happened to you, but did you die?
Did you die though?
But did, because they killed, like they literally killed
right.
Jesus. And so right. understanding that though, understanding no matter what you're going through, Jesus experienced that.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm called to follow like
in
Jesus
his
in his footsteps. And so suffering has to be part of that.
Right.
And some of that social suffering, we don't want to, it's not sexy. You know what I mean? It's not sexy to sell that. Like, hey,
right.
you should join our small group. You know what? You're going to be persecuted.
People are going to reject you. Your whole, your, maybe your family is going to like
yeah,
totally think you're crazy.
That you like grew up with.
Yeah.
They're going to stop calling you and hanging out with you because of this guy, Jesus, in your
yeah.
life.
People are going to start calling you like judgmental behind your back.
Just,
and
you don't have to judge anybody, but it's going to happen.
It's going to happen.
And so
they're going to stop liking your Facebook post, man.
Which really, that just stings. So like this idea though, like we're called to be different. We're called
yeah.
to be set apart.
Yeah.
But when that set apartness happens, it feels like rejection.
Yeah.
It feels like we're doing something wrong and we're tempted to alter who we are to try to fit in,
yeah.
to try to flock with
well,
all the turkeys.
Some of that is because we see ourselves on the same level as people because
yeah.
we are. We're on the same level of humanity.
Yeah, we're not better than people.
Right. We're going,
yeah.
we're going through life. We're all experiencing the same hurts and habits and hangups as everybody else. But the
yeah.
difference is our vantage point is different in Christ. So like with the eagle analogy, understanding that yes, we're all just trying to make it.
Just trying to get through.
We are just trying to get through. But the scripture actually says we will soar on wings like eagles.
Yeah.
In other words, yeah. we'll be lifted to heights. Even understanding about eagles, like they fly higher than other birds.
Yeah.
They like flying higher because what? It gives them a better vantage point. It gives
That's
them
right.
the ability to see their prey. Now, we're not hunters in that sense.
No.
But we are able to see things at times different from the world because we have that vantage point in Christ. We
yeah.
have the discernment of the Holy Spirit. We have the wisdom and the power of God's word.
Yeah.
And so where we want to see ourselves as like, man, why can't I just fit in with those sparrows? Why can't, you're not flying with them.
No. And the other thing is eagles, they have nests that are huge, especially if you
mm-hmm.
think of like the North American bald eagle, like
yeah.
these gigantic nests, but they perch them so high
right.
as they can. And the reason is because when eagles are not flying, they're
mm-hmm.
incredibly vulnerable as birds
yeah.
because they're standing on their weapons. Their talons are their weapons.
Mm-hmm.
And so just like us. Like when we are trying to fit in with the world, when we're down on a lower level, and I'm not talking about looking down on people, right. but I mean, when we're behaving in a substandard identity, mm-hmm. when we're not living in that identity that Christ has called us to, which is to be above the nonsense, mm-hmm. We're more vulnerable to attacks.
Right.
At that point, we're more vulnerable to getting drawn into gossip, to getting drawn into lust, to getting drawn into backbiting, to getting drawn into all these things, petty arguments, or downright spiritual attacks, to being just spiritually oppressed, just feeling this weight of like, man, what is going on? And a lot of times it can go back to, I'm not living in the identity that God has called me as a soaring creature, as someone who's supposed to be above the nonsense, above the mediocrity. And I'm trying to debase myself at some point to connect, right?
Yeah.
And then doing that, I open myself up to a lot of nonsense, a lot of attacks, a lot of vulnerability, really.
Yeah. Well, and what just the image that I'm getting from like perching your nest high and understanding like that not only distances you from some of the danger, but it also gives you the ability, like if, because I remember, what's the movie? Rescuers Down Under, is that where it is? Where
that's
a,
yeah.
Yeah, it's a great movie.
Awesome movie. Yeah. If you haven't seen it,
you need to go watch it. It's old, but in it there's this the golden eagle or whatever.
Yeah.
And the eagle being up high not only allowed it to see better for its own prey, but it was able to, because of where it was, the nest was located, if a predator came, the eagle had the upper hand.
Yeah.
So it was like, yeah, I'm up high and that's already bad for you because you're not supposed to be up this high. But also, like, this is where I am strongest. Yeah. This is where
it's my domain.
Exactly.
This is where I rule.
Like, as believers, we have to position ourselves. And again, it's not a higher than or holier than.
No.
It's not a comparison type thing. It's understanding who you are called to be in Christ and that it's you're not called to scamper on the ground.
Yeah.
You are called to protect your nest, so to
protect
speak.
Your identity, to protect where you dwell. And there's just bringing it out of the abstract and into what Christ says. If you look,
literally talking about building a nest.
First, you get some sticks, and then you got to carry them in your mouth, and you climb a tree.
First, you need to grow some feathers. I don't know how this is going to work.
It's going to be a weird day. But if you look at Scripture, if you read like Proverbs 1 or Psalms 1, right? These incredible books of wisdom and poetry, they start off with this idea of being separate, of distancing yourself, of looking at the way the world does things, of looking at the way the bloodthirsty people or those who set traps or those who set snares. The way the world operates is countercultural to the kingdom of God.
Yeah.
And so you have to look at what Scripture says, and it says you have to distance. Don't even sit down or eat with these people. And that's not saying like you should never associate with sinners, but it's saying those who are pursuing unrighteous gains, you shouldn't try to live according to that standard with them.
Yeah.
You shouldn't call yourself peers with those folks. Yeah. It's good to build relationships and say, hey, let me show you another way.
Yeah.
But it's not good to be like, oh, this is what we're doing now? Okay, I guess I'm gonna do this.
I have experience with that.
Okay.
Like almost that exact, like sitting at the table with people and having a revelation from the Lord in that conversation that the people I was sitting at the table with were not for my good, that they were seeking to oppress the identity God had for me and the calling God had for me. And while I entered into that conversation, the whole time I was like, well, I don't know about this. It feels uncomfortable. I already know there's like some weirdness between some of these people at the table with me. Mm-hmm. And it wasn't an invitation. I wasn't invited to the table.
Okay.
I was almost kind of like, well, we're having this conversation. You need to be in it.
Yeah, yeah.
But in that conversation, there was the realization that I had that, no, this isn't for me. I'm not supposed to be at this table, not against these people, but I'm just not supposed to be associating with this right now. And I stopped the conversation. I said, I'm going to pray right now and I'm going to leave.
Yeah.
Cause this isn't for me and I'm not for this.
Yeah. And this isn't Christ. This isn't.
Yes. Above all, this is not Christ. None of this was Christ. And from that, I had more peace walking out of that conversation and being done with it than I ever had the whole time I was sitting at that table.
Wow.
It doesn't always happen that instantaneously for everyone, but there is a promise that when we choose to walk in the identity God has for us, in the things that God has for us, we will experience that release.
Yeah, and when we're not living in that identity, we're altering who God has called us to be in order to try to fit into someone else's expectation of who they want us to be.
Come on.
And so like one of the things that helps me in this situation is remembering what scripture says in the book of Peter. So in 1 Peter 2:9, he says, you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood. Like he goes on this long thing of like, listen, you are called to be different.
Mm-hmm.
And how you interact with the world must be different.
Yeah.
Because if you look at Old Testament, he's referencing the Levites. He's referencing the order of priests. And what he's saying is as people, as the children of God, your job is to live amongst the people because the Levites had cities in every territory of Judah.
Yeah.
And, you know, Israel, the whole nation.
Mm-hmm.
But they didn't have their own nation. They were interspersed within the body, within the nation of Israel.
Yeah.
But then they were also separate. They were set apart. They weren't allowed to own land the same way that the other people did. They weren't allowed to behave the same way other people did. They had different rules, right?
Yeah.
They couldn't touch unclean things. They had to behave in different ways. And so when Jesus is calling us through the power of the Holy Spirit, as written in the book of First Peter, he's reiterating, like, listen, as children of God, as my people, you have a different identity.
Yeah.
And you're not called to live a common life.
Mm.
And that comes with positive and negative.
Right.
Being someone who is not called to be common, that means you're going to live in different circumstances that are going to set you apart, sometimes for good, sometimes for bad. I mean, not bad as in bad eternally, but it's going to feel bad.
Right.
And when I understand that my calling as a Christian is what sets me apart, it's easy to then not take these things personally.
Yeah.
I say easy as in easier.
Right.
Not as in it makes it 100%
easy. It's totally easy peasy, easy as pie.
I don't care about people.
Don't even think about it.
No, I love people and I'm a social person. And so it's hard sometimes feeling that rejection.
Yeah.
But going back to the root of it is like, I'm rejected not because I'm terrible, but I'm rejected because he's rejected.
Right.
I'm despised because he was despised and I'm finding my identity in him.
Yeah.
And so I have to just represent Christ to the fullest and I have to live my life understanding that some of the hardship I face is not because of them. You know what I mean? It's not them trying to hold me back. It's because I'm called to something different.
Yeah.
That's the subtitle, right? It's not them. It's you.
Yeah. Right? And that's empowering.
Yeah.
Because when we can become such victims to, well, they don't like me and they're not talking to me. And that is not who Christ has called us
to be. Oh, no.
It doesn't say you will be victimized. Like, it doesn't say that.
Yeah. You'll be persecuted.
Persecuted, yes, but not victimized. And we're not victims of our circumstances. We're not victims of other people's opinions or their rejection. And so when I can shift my thinking, I can be renewed in my mind by the power of the word to say, you know what? It's not them.
Yeah.
They're not the enemy. There is an enemy.
Yeah.
They may be against me in this situation, but it is me. It is what God has called me to do.
That's
and right now it's not to be friends with them.
Yeah.
Right now it's not to earn their favor.
Mm-hmm.
Right now it's not to walk in whatever thing these people are putting before me. Right now my calling, for whatever reason in this moment, is to be rejected.
Yeah.
And to rise above it.
Yeah.
And in everything, like even those of you who are successful, because there's also this flip side of it that's like, well, if you're being accepted and everyone loves you, then are you doing something wrong?
Yeah.
That's not true, because the Bible also talks about using our influence and our ability to connect with people for the Lord's glory.
We
use that. But you've got to also think about, like, what's your calling in that?
Yeah.
What are you rejecting, or what is rejecting you in that? Because there's always something. There's always these forces at play in our relationships and in our workforce. If you're someone who has like immense favor with people, you've also got to look at the people that you don't have favor with and understand how that impacts you as a person.
Like, yeah. And how are you utilizing that favor?
Yes.
Are you using it just for your own, like to make you feel good?
Is
that,
right.
Or are you utilizing that favor in order to point people towards something greater?
Yeah. And not in a way, because this is harmful. This is toxic for Christians, for baby Christians, to say, look at my life and how great it is and how much favor I have. And God wants that for you too.
Yeah.
Okay. Yes. But not in the same way. You can't point to your stature, your financial stature, your favor with
people.
You can't point to that and say, this is what God wants for you, So come after God for this.
Yeah.
Absolutely not. Don't you dare use God in that way.
No.
He is not a means to an end.
No, because if that was the case, then we wouldn't have the book of Jeremiah.
Come on.
Because Jeremiah.
Or Job.
Or Job, right? Jeremiah the prophet didn't have a successful ministry.
Right.
He wasn't celebrated. He didn't
and
have
he was
the,
a crybaby.
According to some people, they call him the lamenting, the weeping prophet. But it's because he did exactly what God called him to do, and he didn't experience worldly success, but he experienced eternal success, and he did exactly what God called him to do. And now the books of Lamentations and Jeremiah bring so much comfort to so many people, because through these books, God worked in a prophet to bring about something greater.
And isn't there like one of the most famous scriptures that we love to quote
29:11. Jeremiah,
for I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord.
Yeah, that's
like,
right.
That is the scripture that we cling to so often when things don't go the way we want.
That's right.
Yet, we still build up Christianity as this flocking religion.
Yeah.
Where come to Jesus, he's gonna pay your debt off. He is gonna do all these things. Yeah. He's gonna cure you of everything. Everything's gonna be perfect. Your life's gonna be this shining beacon, bringing people in. And that is not,
it's not always the case.
That is not the case. And you can't say that and then tell me that the missionaries who are dying across the world, like who are literally being pulled out of their homes and guns put to their, you can't tell me that well, suddenly, you know, they're not really doing it right.
Yeah. They're not living in the Lord's favor, apparently. No, like flocking is not always an indication of success or failure. But what you have to understand is that you are not called to be a flocking bird.
Yeah. You know where birds flock a lot of times?
Where's that?
Near dead things.
Mm.
And there's a poem that you need to look up. It is by, what's her name?
Blair Lynn. Yeah.
You need to look it up. It's called I Have Words for You. And in it, she says, remember where the dead body is, there the vultures will feed.
Which is also from scripture. But the way she says it is,
she says it very poetically. It's awesome. So she's giving this warning of like, hey, if you see a bunch of birds flocking over to something and remaining there for a long time, especially out here in the country, when you see birds, a lot of times it's vultures.
Yeah.
And there's a deer that's been killed or something.
Yeah, raccoons and run over.
And
something.
They'll stay there until they get their fill and then they're gone.
Yeah. And so you have to understand practically, right? Practicality. How do we apply this to our lives?
Mm-hmm.
You have to accept the fact that you're different. You have to accept the fact that you're not a flocking bird, and it's okay. It's okay.
Yeah.
To look at your situation and say, I am different. It comes with its challenges, but it also comes with great benefits. It also comes with a unique understanding of my identity and my purpose.
Mm-hmm.
And so knowing that you're different, you have to accept that and stop longing to be a flocking bird because you're a soaring bird.
Yeah. And one of the things you can do is, and this may sound cheesy, it may sound like first grade level stuff, but make a list of the things about you that you know are sandpaper to other people.
Mm.
That's something that a friend of ours gave us. He's like, you know, Nick and Kylie Joe, you're sandpaper. And that's okay to be sandpaper for people. You may need to be salve for some people, but you may be sandpaper for others. And so make a list of those things. Like, you know what? I know I'm abrasive, or I know I'm loud.
I know I'm blunt.
But then look at, how is that something that God wants to use in you for his good?
Amen.
You may be told that, man, you're just too upfront. You're too blunt. Okay, but what does that mean? What does that mean in the eyes of the Lord? Because he gave you some of these traits to be used for that. So make an actual list.
Yeah, that's good.
And then, you know what? You may need to mourn the fact that you don't fit in with everybody. It's okay that you don't fit in with every little clique and every little group that's formed. It's all right that you're not the center of attention in those things. And it's okay to be upset about that. And it's okay to mourn it.
Yeah.
And mourning is a process. And you need to say, you know what? I'm upset. I couldn't be friends with these people, or I couldn't work with these people. Mourn it. And I'm not going to tell you to move on. I'm going to say mourn it appropriately and emotionally as you need to.
I'm going to say move on. I'm going to say mourn it.
Well, I'm trying to be gentle.
No, what I'm saying is you have to mourn it, yes.
Yeah.
But you can't stay there. You can't live in that.
We walk through the valley.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. As you're mourning the loss of whatever friendships you may have to lose for the sake of Christ, as you're mourning whatever situations, you have to understand that you're only losing something for your good.
Mm.
And so you have to know that God puts boundaries in place for our good and for our glory. And every closed door is so that he can open something greater later. And that's not just prosperity. I'm talking about it's for making you a better version of who he's making you to be.
There we go.
Which is ultimately Christ.
Right.
And so every closed door, every hardship, every pain, you do have to mourn it. mm-hmm. you have to understand that it is for your good and God's glory.
Amen.
And you have to trust that and move forward.
Amen.
Something else, you need to excel. Be good at what you're good at.
Mm.
Like if you're good at something, don't mm-hmm. apologize. Don't alter it in order to make other people feel more comfortable.
Right.
Because sometimes, now I'm not talking about being a showboat and showing off and trying to lord it over people. But what I'm saying is be confident that God's gifts that he gave you
are good.
Are good and, yeah. and utilize and be good stewards over them, because this is part of what makes you soar. You know, the eagle's wings lock into place, which is why it can glide for so long.
I did not know that.
Now, if it spent the whole time like flapping and being like, oh, everyone has to flap, I'll flap with you, then it wouldn't soar. Like, you have to do the thing that God has gifted you to do.
Yeah. And whatever don't apologize gifted, for
no,
it. And here's
no,
the thing.
Please don't.
We live in an age of, what is that called when you like, feigned humility.
Yes.
We live in an age of feigned mediocrity. Mm-hmm. Oh, I'm not that good. It's called hustling, people. That's what it is. You walk into the
what
bar.
Is this, pool?
You,
I've never played this game.
Oh, what? I won? Oh, okay.
Oh, wow. Let's put some money on it. Maybe make it a little interesting.
We don't need any more pretenders of, we don't need feigners of mediocrity.
No.
If you're good at something, be genuine, like be so good at it.
And give all glory to God.
Yes, and that's the thing that sets you apart. Your talent doesn't set you apart. There's talented people in every religion throughout history. What sets you apart is who you give credit to in the time of your talent showing.
That's right. And so, yeah, don't apologize. Be fully who God has created you to be.
Yes.
Be you. Authentic, unapologetic. Now, when I say be you, I don't mean be the fleshly version of you that wants to, you know, choke people out, tell people to go boil an egg.
This isn't a way to say, just be real, right?
No,
we talked about that.
Yeah. No, what I'm saying is be all that Christ in you has called you to be.
Right.
And be that 100%. If God has made you abrasive, use it for his glory. Don't go around just being a jerk to people.
Right.
But if there's sin, call it out.
Yeah.
If God has made you a nurturer, then do it to the best of your ability. Don't apologize for caring about broken people.
If God has made you an artist,
do
the art. No,
art
but like really, if God has given you the ability to create visual art or music, anything like that,
Dance,
in a way that builds up the glory of God. Do it in a way that ministers to people, that soothes their hurt.
Yeah.
Like this is stuff that you can do because God has called you to do it. And also, like, understand and accept that life is not fair.
Oh, come on. That's a whole thing itself.
What was that thing? You were just telling me about the eagle and the storm.
Oh, yeah. So eagles fly into storms. I mean, not directly, but when the storm comes, a lot of times it brings a lot of wind. And so when eagles want to get higher quicker, they fly into the storm. That's a whole sermon
That this is preaching right now. When the eagle wants to get higher, he uses she uses the wind of the storm. People, life is unfair. The storms will come.
Yes,
use
they will.
It.
Yes, you allow God to allow that storm to shape you and allow it to propel you. Because here's the thing, you have opportunities that other people have never gotten. And other people have opportunities that you'll never get.
Yep.
And all you can do is understand life is unfair. You're not going to get every shot. You're not going to get every opportunity.
Mm-hmm.
But whatever storm comes your way, you ride that sucker out like an eagle. You fly in the midst of the storm.
Use it.
And we can tell you about some storms we've been through.
I mean, we're not saying this like it's not platitudes for us. We understand this to be real.
Real life, no myth.
No myth.
It's right there.
It is.
And so, yes.
Yeah,
awesome.
There's so many practical things.
This is a whole, we can talk for days.
You should research, a practical thing, research about eagles.
Yeah.
Like it'll just make you appreciate more of God's design and how he uses that in nature to show us about our nature in Christ. Like this is amazing stuff for you. So
amen.
Next week, we want you to listen again.
Yes, it's going
to
be awesome.
It's going to be great. Also, don't forget, if you haven't signed up for Sankofa,
Remix.
It was going so well, too.
Go ahead. You got it.
Sankofa Club.
There we go.
You can join our tribe. I was trying to put all those words in one.
That's like little kids. Like, I can say the whole alphabet. Did you hear it?
I was trying to do that. Did you hear the alphabet in there?
I said all of it.
Go to our website. There's a link. You can join our tribe of Sankofa Club.
Please
it's
do.
Awesome.
Also, we've got about, another week?
Yeah.
One more week for pre-order. So if you have not pre-ordered your Be Blessed shirt or your Make America Kind hat, do that today, because next week on the 22nd, we are closing pre-orders. That means you won't be able to order them for a while. And we're going to work on our next product whenever that launches. So go to our website, check it out, order something. It's going to be awesome. And then also one last thing.
Ready for it?
Kylie Jo's music is coming. So be on the lookout. Yes.
We're actually, oh, can I, I can throw this out there.
Oh, it's our
working
show.
Working towards an EP. Yeah, that's true. Do we have time? I don't know. What do you
guys
think?
We're the producers.
Think? Audience?
Oh, no, that's just a wall. Okay, awesome. Camera.
So we're working on an EP.
Yeah.
And I'm going to get it done this year. I'm just putting that out there. And with your support,
Lord willing, that's right.
I do have some people who have sent some support, sent some support in already.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Amen.
And
thank you guys.
You can do that. You can send some support. Help me get this EP done.
Yeah. You can become a Patreon on Kylie Jo's page.
You can sponsor a child.
Oh,
what
yes.
is that about? I'm about to go in June. I'm going to go again to record.
Yes.
So please consider sponsoring a child. Yes. $36 a month. It's going to be great. It'll change your life. I promise.
And the lives of about 12 other people. So this has been the Nick Smith Podcast. We hope that you've gotten a dose of real life.
No myth.
Be blessed. Thank you so much for listening to this episode of the Nick Smith Podcast. It's our mission to entertain, educate, and empower our audience through the lens of our real life, no myth. To join us in this mission and to receive exclusive content each week, we invite you to become one of our Patreon supporters by visiting www.patreon.com/Nick Smith Podcast. Sign up today. Again, thanks for listening and be blessed.